Вижу, вы брали здесь по разному, по лицу, когда сон не боясь, что здесь там из моего веса. There's seven major worldly feasts, but there is two big ones. One of them is Christmas, and the other one is Easter, resurrection. And we'll fast before each one of them. And we fast technically for 40 days, each one of them. Lent is 40 days, but we've got Preparation Week and Passion Week. And the Advent fast before Christmas is 40 days too. But there's a bit of a difference between the two fasts, and between the Advent fast, which we're fasting now, and the Lent. What's the big difference between the two? Let's say in church attunes, for example. What's the difference? It's not. One's happy, one's sad. Yeah, that's right. So, you can see around here, I think this white banner we got delivered 2 weeks ago. And I put on white banners now, and people start hanging on. I said, yeah, well, that's appropriate. That's ritual. We don't see it during Lent until the vigil, until Apocalypse's night. But during the fast, while we're fasting on Christmas, we've got the white banners all around. That reflects the case of joy, the status of joy we have, even while you're fasting for Christmas. The church attunes. And if you want to know the church mood, always look into the response for the gospel and Psalm 150 during communion. Big difference in the Alleluia, the psalm. I don't know if you actually know how to do it. I know only the first part. Rather hand probably know all of it. And during communion, the Psalm 150, it's full of joy. But it's part actually said in, they don't say it in the English church here on Sunday, but it's because it's the tune only can fit the context. And who knows it? Who knows the tune? Is more even more. I get feeling for that. That's pretty sure. There is a reason for that. Because it's a joy during while we're fasting for Advent for Christmas, there is a joy of anticipation. And I'll give you an example. Imagine you were told that in a month's time you're getting a brand new car. In a month's time, or in 40 days, a brand new car. You're joyful, you're happy, you're dreaming of it, you can't wait. You're very happy. You don't have the car, but you're very happy that you're getting the car. And imagine your joy when you get the car on the day. Same happens is for Christmas, and that's the whole idea of this joyful theme of while we're fasting for Christmas, that we're anticipating the Lord. So we're joyful that we're receiving Him, and imagine what's the joy of the day that we're receiving Him, which is 7th of January. When the Lord was born, there was two types of people. There was people who were joyful, and there was people who were sad or didn't care. So who was joyful when the Lord was born?
Shepherds.
The shepherds, yep. The fucking shepherd, the lahma, the family.
The sheep.
Thank you, yes. Who else was joyful? Who else was joyful? Come on, guys.
They're just dumb, don't worry. Wise, keep the wise men.
No, they're not. They're just shy. Who's Israel? The angel was joyful or not? What did the angel say?
Glory to God.
Now. Yeah. was also joyful. She was a bit scared, concerned, but she was very happy. And did a beautiful press and she was pregnant for the Lord.
Elizabeth.
That's a problem in Sahiba when they ask questions usually for all of So St. Mary was joyful. Herod was sad. Herod was very concerned and sad and angry to the degree that he killed all the children of Bethlehem. The scribes and the Pharisees, though they knew the prophecies, but they were guarded and concerned and they were not happy. And don't worry about how people were, why people were sad when the Lord was born, but why people, the characters of the people were happy and joyful for the Lord's birth, where there is certain character they had. St. Mary was humble and submissive. The angels were praising and fasting as a tool, and the shepherds were vigilant and they were keeping guard for the sheep, so they were up all night keeping guard. And this is a character, what I'm trying to get to, this is a character of people who can feel the joy of Christmas. Not everyone will feel the joy of Christmas. Not everyone will feel the joy of the church tunes and white banners while we're fasting for Christmas. Not everyone will feel the joy at night in the Mass when we're receiving the Lord Christ. But people who are joyful, or people who are before Christmas, they train themselves in purity, they train themselves in humility, and they train themselves in Christ. And that's the reason why we fast before Christmas. Someone will say, if we're happy, we're joyful, why should we be fasting? We're fasting because we're preparing ourselves in purity and in humility and guarding our senses. And that's how we're getting ready. And this is biblical, because if you remember, Moses went up to the mountain to see the Lord. How many days did he fast for? 40 days. Elijah went all the way from Israel to Mount Horeb and Sinai, not to see the Lord, but to hear him. You just heard his voice. And how many days he had to fast for that? 40 days. So, fasting to receive the Lord, or to see the Lord, or to prepare ourselves for the Lord, is a biblical principle too. Christmas fasting, there's characters for it. It's joyful, but as well as certain struggle. And the struggle during the Christmas fasting is mainly two things. First, the struggle in purity. Purity, not just purity of actions, purity of thoughts. And people who struggle harder with the purity of thoughts, they will feel the joy of the fasting and more of Christmas more than anyone else. And this is the same as the shepherd. The shepherd were up all night, because imagine, shepherds were sheep in the middle of the wilderness. I mean, wolves would sniff out any sheep. And if one of these shepherds just dropped for 2 seconds, that would be probably the end of it. The wolves would devour the sheep. So these, they were just so vigilant with everything happening around them for the whole night. It's a symbol for us during the Christmas fasting that we'll be vigilant with everything can defile our senses, can defile our thoughts, can defile our will. The other struggle of the Christmas fasting is the struggle of humility. If I remember all the time, as Moses was saying, that the Lord was turned back, so Mary in labor, as Eski said, and no one was around to help her. She had to basically be in a manger amongst animals to give birth, which is not hygienic, not the thing that a mother would do or would like to do. If I remember that, that would give me help in the struggle of my humility during Christmas fasting. So if someone upset me, I don't turn into a ball of fire, because I remember that the Lord was turned around, wasn't accepted, but he never humiliated or revenged or burned these people that didn't accept him in the inn or accept his mother in the inn. He never did that, because he came to save people, not to punish them. If I remember how St. Mary was humble, that she was the mother of the Lord, and she still felt that all what she needed to do to go to her cousin Elizabeth, the elderly woman that's pregnant in her old age, to serve her for 5 months, and she's the mother of God, that will give us a who am I? Doesn't matter how strong I look, how rich I am, what sort of future or career I've got. This is my the mother of the Lord. Humiliated herself to serve Elizabeth, then I should be following the same example. People who, as I said, were struggling during this fast with their purity of senses, purity of thoughts, and humility, with avoiding anger at the father's side. Anger is the other side of the coin of arrogance and pride. Feel the joy of the fasting, and feel the joy of Christmas. They received the Lord at the angels, the shepherds, and St. Mary received the angel. Another thing that will help us to feel the joy of Christmas is praises. And as Tavis was just saying, and I'll tell you something. I was listening to this a big MP3, like 60 hours of His Grace and the Goodness of the Father. He was the Bishop of Arbea, and he was basically telling a sequence of lectures about the history of the Church. Before St. Mark, what sort of Egypt was like, and then going all the way through. And when we heard, particularly, the Islamic era of it, I always wonder why Copts didn't have the highest rate of suicide in the world ever. Because when you hear what was going on and what's happening now, this is backward, there is nothing. But one day, people would just go and start burning churches, burning houses, killing people randomly, because they asked the Khalifa to let them to do that, and the Khalifa was scared to say no. He said, okay, will you do that? And that was just one of the regular incidents. You hear about people that they started talking in Coptic, they get their tongue cut off, even if they talk Coptic in their own home, and they could hear. And you wonder, and I always wondered why. Until I had a really hard time during this fast, maybe 2 weeks ago, and I had gas for Zaha in the three in the car, and for some reason I put that on. And that changed the whole atmosphere, the whole feeling. Why? Praises helps the soul. That's why you see a lot of people now with the earphones, and they're going boom, 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 boom. It just takes their mind off the problems. But there is a lot more of an active part of praises, more than just the music part. Because when you hear the Tasbeha, and when you read it, it's all about thanksgiving. And nothing will make the person content and happy more than thanksgiving. A lot of the time we're sad because of something we lost or something we don't have. But when you hear the Tasbeha, you hear a lot of thanksgiving for things that we do have, but for some reason we take it for granted. So hear about how the sun, that the Lord created the sun, the moon, everything. And you think about it, imagine if we didn't have sun for a week, what was going to happen? I was studying biology today with my daughter, and I'm talking about the dinosaurs and how they vanished because they reckon we have this whatever explosion or big volcanic activity that made a cloud of dust that prevented the sun from going in. The plants died, the dinosaur were feeding off the plants, the dinosaur got extinct. Very dramatic. It's a theory, probably that what happened, but that can happen. Imagine if we didn't have the sun for a week, or 2 weeks. Imagine if we didn't have rain ever in Australia. There's a lot of things that we need to thank the Lord for. And this Thanksgiving will get us out of the feeling of sadness, the feeling of concern, the feeling of loss, or the feeling of regret that we don't have anything. So, to make us feel that we have got the joy of Christmas, the joy of Advent, the joy of the birth of Christ, to summarize three things: the struggle of purity of thoughts and senses, the struggle of humility and praises. And that's why the church at Sabbath is something I would invite everyone on Saturday, like tomorrow, to come and enjoy. Regardless, even if some verses say in Coptic or Arabic, whatever, it doesn't really matter. You've got the words in front of you. The contemplation of the words on its own is quite joyful to the soul. That's why the devil decided that if he wants people to not to be happy for Christmas or for Advent or look the joy of it, the only way to do that is to commercialize Christmas. So Christmas wasn't all about now the birth of Christ and being prepared to receive him, but it was more about Christmas parties. And rather than being prepared for with the purity of thoughts and senses and praise, it became all worldly music, indulgence of food, and indulgence of other sins, other types of sins. How can we have the joy of Christ coming if we have so much joy in the world? We just don't agree. How can we fast in joy in expectation of Christ? As I said, we're waiting for the car or waiting for whatever, waiting for Christ. How can we fast in joy if we can't have an ascetic fast because of so much function, so many functions and Christmas parties are going around? How can we receive the Lord with joy if this sort of things, including New Year's Eve, can defile our thoughts, our senses, our vision, everything? Very hard. And that's how people, you will come to the Mass and, you know, you feel nothing. Nothing. You don't know what's all the fuss about. Why all this joyful tune, all these white banners around the church, person would wonder what's going on here. Maybe it's just a tradition, but it's a lot more than tradition. It's more than something that we should live in. To finish off, I thought I might give you these two fictional stories. They're not fiction as in, they're fiction as I haven't seen them happen, but they can happen. Imagine there is two houses next to each other, two families, husband and wife and two kids in each. And the two husbands went away on a working trip for like 6 months. And they both were landing, coming back with their families and houses the same night. One family, the wife can't wait for her husband to come back. The children, the two children, couldn't wait for the father to come back. Anticipation and joy. The wife turned the whole house upside down, cleaning, tidying up. Every single corner had to be spotless. Make sure that she cooked the dinner, that the husband, the food that he really loves. Even after doing all this, she didn't have time to eat, she didn't have time to rest, she didn't have time to do anything, but she was happy. She's tired, buggered, but she's happy. She's doing that with happiness, with joy. And you see what I'm getting to? It's like fasting. It's like abstaining from food until 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock, but enjoy. Yes, I'm not eating, but I'm not humiliating my body. I'm working, doing that in preparation and enjoying. And after she was done with this, before she, thank you. Is this supposed to be part of the show? So she went out, she had a shower, she went and got her hair done, she made sure that her makeup is good, the kids basically waiting for the dad, with presents, with flowers, with the music that he liked. And the dad comes back to the airport, everyone is waiting for him with flowers, take him to home, the whole house is joyful. The whole house of children. And the other family, half an hour after the landing time, my wife was still in the coffee shop with her girlfriends, smoking her cigarettes, having her coffee, and thought, oh my God, my husband's airplane landed half an hour ago. So she rushed to the airport, where she is in her jeans, her Havanas, whatever. I used to be a Fidel Castro fan when I was a kid. didn't have the connection. No. Havana is the capital city of Cuba.
Yeah, that's all those cigars they say.
Fidel Castro used to be a kid. So, went to the airport. The kids were still home. One kid was in his mobile phone, the other one was in his laptop. Picked her husband up and on the way, there's nothing for dinner. She said, sorry, honey, I know you're Hungry Jack's, but that's probably the only one open now. So grab some burgers from Hungry Jack's, go home. The whole house is upside down. One of the kids, I'm dead, boy, man. Good to see you back. The other kid went, oh, have you been away? I haven't seen you for a while. You would understand that the husband in the second house probably had a disappointing night compared to his neighbor who had a very joyful night. But it's more than that. The wife and the kids in the second house missed out in a lot of joy. It's true that they didn't have to do anything. They didn't come out of their way and done any effort to prepare for their father to come back. Whoever was on the laptop was on the laptop, whoever was on his phone with his phone, the wife is having her coffee with her girlfriends, nothing changed. It's the same routine happening every day. They didn't have to work hard, they didn't have to buy flour, they didn't have to clean the house, they didn't have to cook, they didn't have to do anything. But, in the same token, they were not as joyful as the other things. If we look into the symbolic, biblical symbolic way, the Lord and the human soul is like the husband and the wife. And always in the Old Testament talk of Israel like that, I married you, but you committed fornication and left me. It's so the father is the root, and the wife is our soul. And the children could be our deeds or our thoughts. We might not have to work hard for the preparation to receive the Lord, but if we don't, we won't be sure. We won't be sure to that. So for the next 2 weeks, we've got 2 weeks to go, under 2 weeks, maybe we'll try that. We'll try to struggle with the purity of our thoughts, our senses. We'll try to struggle in humility, remembering Samiri, and remembering the Lord himself. We'll try to join the church in his praises. And believe me, we won't be disappointed. We'll have a joyful Christmas that you've never had or tasted before. Any questions at all?
How do I change within that 2 weeks? What are some of the things that I can do to change?
It depends. Like for the struggle of purity, I can recite Jesus' prayers all the times that helps the thoughts. I can recite the Psalms, gives help. You know, the first part of Kiyak Tasbah is the Kiyak pause. And Kiyak pause is nothing but Psalms, all of it. The exercise of humility is probably one of the hardest to achieve in 2 weeks. But that usually takes the whole person's life to achieve. But at least I can try not to be angry when people upset me. That's the least I can do. Just to brush things off and take things easy and not to take things personal. And praises, I just need to turn up to church and attend the praises right. Would that answer that question?
That's good.
Any other question? May the Lord give us all the joy of Christmas. It doesn't happen very often. It happened once a year of commemoration. It happened once ever in the history of the world. So we shouldn't miss out on that. We should work hard for it so we can taste the joy of it. And Him that we wish for them.
Ah.